it's hard. It's easy to forget to the extent to which the impact of the October 7th massacres were felt by the people of Israel. Keep in mind that Israel is a nation really landmass wise not much different in size than the state of Alabama. A population that is really, you know, very compressed and at the same time not huge by world standards. In fact, they're what you might call a mighty mite of a country. I mean, they can pack a punch, but they're not a big nation. And they never will be. So when something happens to them that kills 1,200 people and takes hundreds hostage, you have to look at it and go, there's probably hardly anybody in the nation that was not in some way touched by this. An entire nation of people knew somebody who was in some way connected to someone who was traumatized by that day. Whether they were in the military and deployed immediately to begin starting the fight against Hamas, whether they were victims themselves or the family members or friends of victims. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, think about the heinous events that occurred that day. As something like what they figured was you know, roughly 600 or so Hamas attackers came in from Gaza unannounced in the early morning hours. One of the places they went to was a music festival. A music festival. These were not military targets. This was not something that you know, like you look at and go, well, that was a justifiable target because I can understand why they would feel threatened by it. Nobody feels threatened by a music festival. It's like showing up at Woodstock with guns. And that's what happened. And so one of the major events was this music festival where they just slaughtered people, wholesale slaughtered them. We have actual evidence to support the fact that Hamas terrorists did wholesale rape and sometimes gang rape as part of their attacks, laughed about it, and posted the video. Babies were beheaded. Bodies were burned. Homes were invaded. There was nary a military target anywhere in the mess. It was the idea that they were going to commit not just wholesale murder of innocent civilians, but they were going to create actual terror by making sure that it was as awful a moment as anyone could imagine. Children killed in front of their parents, parents killed in front of their children. Kibbutzes wiped out. All this happened in one day, October 7th, 2023. And today marks exactly 1 year later. And Israel began to basically kick some tail, take some names soon thereafter. I always say this, just try to give a mental reference point. Picture as if the state of Alabama was suddenly at war with South Mississippi. That's kind of the lay of the land, if you will. And that's where the Gaza Strip was. The Palestinian people are divided between two major pieces of land on each side of Israel. One's called the West Bank. It's the West Bank of the Jordan River, but it's up in the northeastern side of Israel. And then you have the Gaza Strip, which is basically a packed piece of land to the southeast, and that's what I'm calling, like, you know, southwest. I call that South Mississippi. It's as if that Gaza Strip is being wiped out right now. But why not? That's where Hamas lives. Hamas has been taking billions of aid dollars from around the world for decades to fortify itself and to build tunnel networks under buildings, under hospitals, and they took hundreds of, right now, by the way, we're looking at, they estimate, according to Fox News, it is estimated that there are over 100 hostages, still roughly 100 hostages reported still in Gaza, but intelligence believes that there's only 70 of them still alive. Several of those are Americans. So it doesn't just happen to them, it happens to our people too. Senator Joni Ernst led the entire Senate GOP conference in introducing a resolution today, to condemn the Hamas terrorist attack exactly 1 year later. She says, this time last year, I woke up in the Middle East. She was on a delegation trip there, to the unbearable news that Israel was under attack. I immediately traveled to Israel myself to show that our nation's friendship is unwavering in good times and bad. 1 year since that day, she says, as Israel remains under attack on all fronts, Senate Republicans stand united with our greatest ally in the Middle East. Since that time, though, there's been an outcry around the world. Somehow or another, Israel has become the bad guy. Well, to some. To the leftists and to the terrorist sympathizers, Israel is a bad guy. Go figure. Israel's the one having babies beheaded and women raped and hostages taken and dragged back into the Gaza Strip and hidden in the tunnels. But Israel's a bad guy? Well, right here in the United States alone, it's reported there's been a 200% increase in anti-Semitic activities in the U.S. since October, in 1 year. More than 10,000 anti-Semitic attacks have been recorded, which is more than any other year since they began recording them in 1979. And by the way, it's not just out there in some like Ivy League institution and, you know, Columbia University campus or something. No, how about this? Story on 1819 News, Dateline today. Auburn Police Department responded Sunday evening after an anti-Israel protesters began vandalizing Auburn University's entrance with chalk paint. So they were able to clean it off later, but you got from the river to the sea painted on the bricks right there at Toomer's Corner going into the entrance gate near the beautiful Sanford Hall. The vandalism was caught on Auburn Live's Toomer's Corner camera, and you can see it. I've seen pictures. 1819 News has the story up. I'm looking at it right now. From the river to the sea painted on the bricks. Completely unnecessary. By the way, there was also, it broke out in a fight. There was not a big protest. Don't get me wrong. There were not hundreds showing up. There was a small group of rabble-rousers who showed up there at Toomer's Corner wanting to protest. Campus police made them leave. Campus police also dispersed some folks that were counter-protesters. One fight did break out. And I will say this, a little protester boy got a beatdown at Toomer's Corner. Just saying. Sorry for his luck. That's what he gets for getting in the face of somebody who was there to tell him to quit painting the bricks at Auburn University. All that's happening right now. And yet, at the same time, Hezbollah launched its attacks from the north. Israel's at war on two fronts. What did Macron from France and Biden from the U.S. say this weekend? Oh, it's gonna make you mad. I'll tell you all about it. When we get back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're on this dipper right now, 10-7-365. I'm talking about the 1 year to the day from the October 7th massacres in Israel. And since that time, Israel has begun turning parts of the Gaza Strip into a freaking parking lot, and rightfully so. Eradicating Hamas is the stated goal. Now, the world is saying, you can't do that because there's innocent people in the way. Well, guess what? Those innocent people, I'm sorry, but they're being warned. They're being told to move. They're being told before the bombardment starts. They're being told, don't sit in that building because we're going to bomb it. These innocent people are often too supportive of Hamas and even voted them into power. And I'm sorry that there's collateral damage because there is. And that's, guess what? That's the nature of war. And there's 1,200, by the way, Israelis who are dead. And hundreds more taken hostage that are still being held in Gaza. And so, yes, Hamas is being just eradicated right now. And parts of Gaza are being flattened right now. And then to the north, Hezbollah opened up. And Hezbollah is another proxy of Iran. All of these are proxies of Iran. Story on the BBC, Dateline today, the northern Israeli port city of Haifa was hit by 5 rockets fired by the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah late on Sunday. So Israel has been doing a masterful job at decapitating the leadership and the senior rank and file of Hezbollah. It's as if now they're not just like the map of Alabama at war with southern Mississippi. Now they're at war with Tennessee. I mean, you've literally got To the north, they've got one front, and they have now gone, Israel is now doing ground incursions. They've been doing strategic bombing campaigns. They have been doing the thing where the pagers blew up on people's waists and in their hands and just basically emasculated a whole bunch of Hezbollah terrorists. But now you've also got Israel has actually got ground troops in Lebanon. A spokesman for Haifa's municipality, Haifa, that's in Lebanon, said it was the first time the city had been, I'm sorry, it's in Israel, northern Israel, said it was the first time the city had been targeted since the 2006 war between Israel and Hezbollah. Israeli air defenses did not quite catch all the missiles, so apparently, yeah, five rockets got in. But don't forget that just a few days ago, Hezbollah fired more than 135 rockets into northern Israel. 135. This is life in Israel right now. So now Israel is saying, guess what? We're not going to live like this anymore. We're done with this. October 7th, guess what? You guys brought the whole can. You brought the whole can. You opened it up and we're going to be the ones to shut it down. And so Hamas is being wiped out. And now Hezbollah is being wiped out. Meanwhile, Iran. What's happening with Iran? Well, there's a whole lot happening with Iran, not the least of which is the fact that Iran is in fear. Iran's axis of resistance is collapsing under all the Israeli attacks. That's what they call it. Their axis of resistance is Iran and its proxies. We shall build the Iranian axis of resistance, and we shall be death by a thousand cuts to Israel. And guess what? A thousand cuts ain't working out for you real well, is it? Iran launched attacks from its own borders, ballistic missiles, over 200 of them. Twice, Israel shot the majority of them down. I mean, this is something. I was reminded this morning of the story of King David, and I've got to think now where this passage was, 1 Samuel, I think, when the Philistines came marching right after David had become king. And he went out and fought them on the field of battle. And then they regrouped and they started to come back again. And it says that David prayed and said, shall I go out and meet them? And the Lord said, surely you will, but wait until you hear the sounds of armies marching in the treetops. Then you will know that I've gone ahead of you. And he did. Angel armies marching through the treetops. Just having at it. Well, all right. Let's think about that. Whose side do you want to be on? The democracy? Let's take it from a purely secular view. The democracy? The ally? The ones who have the strongest economy in the Middle East? How about from the spiritual side? The nation of Israel? God's chosen people? The ones who have armies that march to the treetops? I mean, whose side do you want to be on? Them? Or the people who live in tunnels and execute babies and rape women and launch missiles without provocation? Simply because they're Jewish. Whose side do you want to be on? I know whose side I want to be on. Meanwhile, my president, Biden discourages Israel from attacking Iran's oil fields. President Joe Biden sought to discourage Israel from attacking Iran's oil fields as the U.S. looks to shape Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response to the ballistic missile barrage and keep the region from descending into all-out war. Why would he do that? Well, because he won't drill here, and he's afraid of what it'll do to the mass market worldwide. But that's also where Iran gets its funding. Iran gets its funding because the Biden administration lifted sanctions and is allowing them to sell their oil worldwide to gain the money they need to have these fights. Guess what happens if we take out the oil fields? Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to wind up shutting down the revenue to the Ayatollahs who are at war with us. And then you had this. You have Biden trying to stifle attacks, and you got Francis Macron, who as of Sunday, according to thehill.com, French President Emmanuel Macron on Sunday called for a halt in deliveries of arms used by Israel to fight. When Israel buys weapons under contract from foreign nations, and foreign military sales is very common, and Western leaders say, you know what? I think they're winning, so let's make sure we shut off their weapons because we can't stand with Israel anymore. What message does that send? Well, Netanyahu is a leader. And I'm going to go audio clip number three, JP. So go ahead and play it.
I have a message for President Macron. Today, Israel is defending itself on seven fronts against the enemies of civilization. We're fighting in Gaza against Hamas, those savages who murdered, raped, beheaded, and burned our people on October 7th. We're fighting in Lebanon against Hezbollah, the most heavily armed terror organization in the world, which was planning an even greater massacre than October 7th on our northern border, and that has rocketed Israeli towns and cities for nearly a year. We're fighting against the Houthis in Yemen and the Shiite militias in Iraq and Syria that together have launched hundreds of drones and missile attacks against Israel. We're fighting against terrorists in Judea and Samaria who are trying to murder civilians in the heart of our cities. And we're fighting against Iran, which last week fired over 200 ballistic missiles directly at Israel, and which stands behind the seven-front war against Israel. As Israel fights the forces of barbarism led by Iran, all civilized countries should be standing firmly by Israel's side. Yet President Macron and some other Western leaders are now calling for an arms embargo against Israel. Shame on them. Is Iran imposing an arms embargo on Hezbollah, on the Houthis, on Hamas, and on its other proxies? Of course not. The axis of terror stands together. But countries who supposedly oppose this terror axis call for an arms embargo on Israel. What a disgrace. Well, let me tell you this. Israel will win with or without their support. But their shame will continue long after the war is won. For in defending ourselves against this barbarism, Israel is defending civilizations against those who seek to impose a dark age of fanaticism on all of us. Rest assured, Israel will fight until the battle is won, for our sake and for the sake of the peace and security of the entire world.
Stop it there. What an amazing message. What an amazing message. For him to look at it, basically what he said is, Macron, if we don't stop them here, guess what? They're coming to you. And that's exactly what he's saying, and he's exactly right. How feckless is it to say, you don't support the terror leaders, but you won't send weapons to the people that are fighting the terror leaders you don't support? You're scared to death that terrorism would ever come to your country, but you won't allow us to fight it on our country. And that makes no good sense. It's also clearly an indication that there's a woke left agenda on a broad scale, writ large, that discriminates against Israel. If I got a call on the line, I just realize I do. Let me grab that real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay, and that was interesting because they have been to parts of France and in Spain, not the terrorists per se, but the zealots, and kind of led into the Crusades to get them out of Spain eventually.
Somebody once said to me, the Muslim, you know, radicals don't want to claim ground. Well, of course they do. They do. The history says they do. And then you can look at what's happened most recently too with ISIS trying to claim ground and establish its own caliphate.
Well, back to the original point, you said, what side do you want to be on? I want to be on the correct side, which, you know, would be the right side.
There you go.
So just to throw that in there. And my Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm born again. He was the only perfect person and the only perfect Jew to ever walk this earth. So my Savior, in most aspects, is Jewish. So I don't see why so many people have a problem with that.
Well, they probably have a problem with that because of that very reason, brother. I'm just saying. There's a war in the heavenlies.
Right.
See you, man.
Well,
thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
Bye.
You. Well put. Well said. Yeah, I mean, I look at this and think, if can you imagine, and some did, but can you imagine if after 9/11, when we had terrorists fly into buildings in the United States and kill thousands of Americans. And by the way, I said earlier, this October 7th is Israel's 9/11. And I was trying to portray, and I forgot to get back to it, that on a per capita basis, based upon population size, that the 1,200 or so that were killed in Israel is larger in a per capita scale to their population than 9/11 even was to us. We're a nation with well over, what, 330 million people? 333 million, I think, is what I saw last. And we lost several thousand. Their population is far more impacted, and I'm not trying to minimize 9/11, but their population at Israel was far more impacted by the results of what happened on 10/7. Can you imagine if after 9/11, as we tried to regain our ground and figure out what happened and dig out the rubble of Ground Zero and the Pentagon in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, can you imagine if somebody like Macron had said, you know, we really think you need to back off, America? What would we have said? I think we might have declared war on France if that had been said at that point. But the truth be told, the very idea that France would say, and I've got the copy of the Hill.com article right here, that France would say an immediate ceasefire is essential in Gaza, we must avoid the escalation of tensions, and then talks about getting rid of the, you know, getting down to stopping delivering of weapons to fight in Gaza, Macron says. That's asinine. And that's not where we need to be. All right, take me to a break there, JP. Well, last break of the day here on a Meatloaf Monday. We'll come right back, see if we can clean up the topic a little bit, talk about some stuff that may be coming for tomorrow. Y'all, I'm telling you, this is a major deal. 10-7, 365. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.